The 23rd Psalm, then, let's turn to it. We have sung, Lord, grant that we aright may learn the wisdom it imparts, and to its heavenly teaching turn with simple, childlike hearts. All right, well, with that prayer in our minds, let's turn to Psalm 23, which we are considering in these few Sunday mornings. We introduced it last week with the first verse, a consideration of these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah God, the great creator and sustainer of all things, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the heavens were made by him, the covenant-making God, the holy God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, this God, says David, is my shepherd. He knew what that meant. He will lead me. He knows me. I bear his name. I belong to him. He loves me. He cares for me. He feeds me. He waters me. He protects me from the enemies. Because I am his, I shall want for no good thing. I shall lack nothing. I can be content because the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. All the millions of people there are upon the earth, he sees me and he loves me and he cares for me. We put the New Testament into that. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He laid down his life for me. Well, now this morning we're going on into verses 2 and 3 to see something of the blessings of this caring shepherd. Green pastures, still waters, and then right at the end, paths of righteousness. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, he restoreth my soul is very, very important. We're going to look at that, God willing, next week. But this morning, where does he lead us to, this good shepherd? The good shepherd of the east goes ahead of the flock, and the flock follow him, follow his lead. Where will our Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of his sheep, you and me, where will he lead us? Well, he will lead us to green pastures, he will lead us to still waters, and he will lead us in the paths of righteousness, and all for his name's sake. Now, what does it mean, the green pastures? Very easy to trot these phrases out, as I said last week. Now, we must get our minds to work and to ask ourselves, yes, but what does he mean by the green pastures? We know what it means with literal sheep. They need to be fed. And they want good, nourishing pasture, grass. And so the good shepherd will know where to find that. It may have especially been thinking of times of drought when the Judean hills were dried right up, so there was no pasture to be found generally. The good shepherd, he knew where to lead the sheep, where there would still be some to be found. What does it mean for us spiritually? Well, of course, the Bible is our spiritual food, and how grateful to God we ought to be that we have the Bible in our own language, that we can read it daily. The Lord, our good shepherd, will surely, if we will follow him, lead us to it, that we might feed upon it and strengthen our souls. And then we have a veritable, large library of good, sound Christian books. And we have a library here. Hope you're reading them, because the Lord God will surely bring you to green pastures as you read good Christian literature based soundly upon the authority of the Scriptures. But I have no hesitation this morning in saying to you, I believe in the light of the Bible as a whole, that the principal way in which this good shepherd will lead his people into green pastures is to lead them under the expository ministry of the Word of God by those whom the good shepherd and the chief shepherd has appointed to feed. After all, this was God's promise, God's gracious promise in the Old Testament through Jeremiah. And I will give you pastors or shepherds according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. It was Christ's instruction. You remember the passage that we read together of his words to Peter. Peter, he said, do you love me? Yes, said Peter, I love you. Feed my lambs, he said. That's going to be your job. Feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep, was the middle one. Tend them, care for them, shepherd them, feed them. In the book of Ephesians, we read that this was Christ's gift to the church. Some he gave to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. One office, they go together. Shepherds and teachers. Christ's gift to his church. He who has ascended up on high. Peter says in his epistle, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, tend or feed the flock of God that is in your charge. So the good shepherd's will for the provision of his flock, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to lead his flock, to feed under the ministry which he has appointed for them. And that should be a green pasture, nourishing, biblical, expository, balanced and consistent. Now, if there was a scarcity of green pastures for the sheep that David had to lead sometimes in Judea, there is in some parts of Britain today a scarcity of spiritual green pasture of the exposition of the Word of God. It isn't always easy to find. There's a scarcity of the hearing of the Word of God. It's the most severe judgment that God can bring upon a land, is the withdrawal of the prophetic voice. Did you know that? The Bible says that. Economic disaster is not the worst thing God can bring. Poverty is not the worst thing God can bring. To take away the prophet, to take away the expositor, to take away the feeder, is the worst judgment that God can bring. And yet it is to be found if you look for it, because the Lord is our shepherd. He wants his people to be fed. He wants them to lie down in green pastures and to be nourished. He will not leave them without it. But it must be sought for when it's scarce. Just as the flock would follow the shepherd. Well, it's also barren around here. They're nibbling, trying to find something. We'll have to follow the good shepherd, our shepherd. He will lead us. He knows where there's green pasture. And so it is today, dear friends. There are some people who think that a Christian should go to the nearest building that's got some sort of sign outside that says Christian Church, nearest to where they live. But Christian people want to go where there's green pasture, where they will be fed. And if that place doesn't believe the Bible, or if there's no food to be had there, who can blame people for seeking green pasture? Far from them being blamed for it, they're to be commended for it. They are following the good shepherd who will lead them to it. As I once said to some people who were told off in another place, not in Bournemouth, who were told off because they didn't go to the place across the road but went further afield. I said to them, tell the people that you need daily bread. You need your daily loaf of bread. But if there's a baker's shop across the road, however big the sign and however smart the baker's apron, if he hasn't got any bread upon his shelves, what's the use of going there? So you have to go to the next block and look for bread, because you'll die if you don't have it. And so it is. The Lord leadeth his people to find green pasture, and today sometimes they have to travel for it. And when they find it, they are to settle down and feed steadily upon it. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. The very word pasture in the Hebrew here means habitation. And five times in our authorized version it's translated habitation, dwelling place. Quite right to translate it pasture, but the idea is not of a quick nibble and then on to the next place, but a dwelling place, a settled place. And he maketh me, you'll have noticed, to lie down in green pasture. Now we can all be blessed by one particular exposition or one particular sermon. And I can think back over my Christian life and pick out certain particular sermons that I may have heard which have been a special blessing to my soul. But we can't live on that. He wants us to lie down, to make our habitation, to settle when we find green pasture and feed steadily upon it that we might be built up. The Church of Jesus Christ gathered is a feeding centre. That's why we attach such importance to the preaching of the Word, both morning and evening, and in our midweek meeting, the teaching of the Word. Because it's a feeding centre, that's what we've come for. We've come for other things, of course, for fellowship, and for praise, and for prayer. But we've also come that the Lord, our Shepherd, might feed us with green pasture. The third thing I would say from this is, don't move from it if you find it, unless you have a clear direction from your shepherd. For he leads you into green pasture. It's an exception to lead you out of it, isn't it? There are some people who put other things first. And they come find themselves in a barren valley and then wonder why their souls get shriveled up. There are many undernourished Christians today, and diseased Christians, and unbalanced Christians, and shriveled up Christians. They're often the last to realize it, but a little conversation with them or an observation of them and you soon realize it. And it's because they have not been feeding upon green pasture. Conversely, you meet a believer and you get into fellowship with them and you get into conversation with them and you begin to realize here is somebody who for many years has fed under the consecutive and consistent green pasture of the Word of God. I would say to you, don't move from it then, at your peril, unless you know beyond doubt you have a clear direction from the shepherd. Maybe you're called to be a missionary. We are talking now generally of the flock of God, whom he will lead into green pasture, not from it. What about your soul? Don't you put that first? What about your family? I deal with people sometimes who weep because their teenage children or grown-up children no longer walk in the ways of God. But a little investigation soon reveals that maybe years before, when they were but babies or children, they took them away from green pastures. Away from the fellowship where there were those of their own age with whom they could grow up so that they could have Christian friends. So they sought their friendships elsewhere. Away from a pastoring ministry to them and their devoted and godly youth leaders. And so they sought the counsel of the ungodly. Away from the green pastures of a biblical ministry, so they fed upon other things. No, if you love your children and if you're careful for your family as well as your own soul, watch out that you have green pasture for you and for them. Fourthly, be deaf to criticism and to jibes. If you do this, the devil wants you to be underfed, and he wants me to be underfed. And therefore he will sometimes even bring jibes and criticism from so-called Christian people, because you're looking for green pasture and wanting it. You'll be accused of following the man. I knew somebody who the minister of his church felt called to leave that church and go to minister in Leicester. So this man resigned his position and took a job in Leicester and moved all his family up to Leicester. I'd never heard of such a thing. And he was immediately accused, of course, of man worship, hero worship, and any other jibe that could be dragged up. But in actual fact, it was nothing to do with his worship of the man. It was his love for the shepherd. And he wanted green pasture, and he knew it when he'd got it. Well, many, many, many of us who were wrongly accused of all sorts of terrible things because we happened to travel a few miles a few years ago to listen to a certain Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones at Westminster Chapel in central London. All the things that were said. Because people came from far and near to feed in that green pasture. But I will tell you this, there's many a church today that's knowing the benefit of those sheep who sat under that shepherd and who lay down in that green pasture. Oh, take it while you can. Get it while you may. Be deaf to all jibes. You're not following the man. You're not hero worshipping. It's the good shepherd that's leading you to green pasture because you care about your soul. What good would you be anyway serving in some other place if you were weak and undernourished and ill-fed? Your strength would go from you and you would do no good thing. Churches sometimes become accused of stealing sheep stealing. I heard the other day of a pastor in the north of England where there were some who were coming in because they wanted to hear the word and so on. And his reply was, "We do not steal sheep, but we do grow grass. We do grow grass." Of course, some Christians don't value it when they have it. They are restless and silly sheep. You'll always have those in the flock. Never satisfied, however lush the pasture, however nourishing the grass, however protective the shepherd, never satisfied. They'll never lie down in green pasture, never lie down anywhere. And you walk along the country lane, and there you will see the beautiful field of green pastures and clovers and everything. And there's the sheep with his head through the barbed wire, practically slitting his throat to try and get one or two silly thistles across the way, because the grass is always greener on the other side. And the shepherd pulls him away and says, "That will do you no good. Don't go after that stuff. Hear what I've got for you." "No, no, we won't. Look at those lovely red poppies. I think I'll go and have a nibble at those. But what if they're poisonous?" Value it. Feed and grow upon it. because it is the good shepherd's will to lead his flock into green pastures, and then to lead us beside still waters. What are still waters? Well, literally, it's waters of rest, waters of quietness. You see, it's in contradistinction to rushing, cascading streams that frighten the sheep. And they're afraid to go near that water and to try and lap from it because it's tumbling all around them. And the shepherd knows that. They're rather timid animals. So he leads them not to stagnant pools, brackish water, but to still water, living water, flowing water, but quiet water where they can relax and where they can drink and slake their thirst. Now, what does this have to say to us on the spiritual level? Here we have the green pastures, shall we say, the Lord has provided for us. Well, the Lord would have us quiet. What a noisy, busy world we live in. We get almost so accustomed to it that we're afraid to be without it. Turn up the tranny, turn on the television. But the Lord would have his people be quiet sometimes. Be still, he said, and know that I am God. That's one of the reasons he's provided the Lord's day for us. Rest. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. And on the seventh day, rest from your labours. Now we know from our Lord's teaching that doesn't mean staying in bed all day or doing nothing. He said it's good to do good works. But even our good works that we may do on the Lord's day should never be done in a frenzy so that we don't have a day of peace. Still waters. Worship service, of course. Still. Rather nice sometimes if people come into church and it's not a hubbub of chatter always, isn't it? I know we love to greet one another and it's a means of grace to have fellowship together, but we must always think of the other person as well. And for some people, they've been so noisy and they've perhaps just come from a home where there was a racket, and it's part of God's gracious ministry to them that they can come in and just be quiet for a few moments before the service and centre their thoughts upon the Good Shepherd. How precious it is. What do you do on a Sunday afternoon? Good to go and visit somebody who is in need. Good perhaps to sit down and write a few letters to people who might appreciate them. Good to read a good biography. How it can bless you to read a good book. Don't put the telly on. I was brought up in a day where it would have been unheard of for Christians to do that. Well, the great cry today is liberty and all that. I'm not getting into that question, but it'd be nice just to have an afternoon without it. Even if you have to miss the big match. Never mind. What profit will that do your soul? Read a Christian book. Just for an hour. Be quiet if you can. Beside still waters. Perhaps you'll suddenly find the Lord has drawn near to you in a wonderful way. Perhaps on holiday there's an opportunity for still waters. Perhaps when you are ill. The Lord sometimes has to lay some of us aside before we will be still and quiet. Now, none of us want to be ill. But you know, when the shepherd led his sheep into still waters, sometimes those still waters were to be found in some very strange places. He had to lead them down a very strange and rocky path with rocks and down into a cavern. And they might have thought, well, we don't want to go down here. this is dark and gloomy and dangerous. No, 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 it was nice up there on the hillside. Yes, but there aren't any still waters up there on the hillside. Follow me, he said. Follow me. And down at the bottom, in the semi-darkness and the seeming danger, there are the still waters. And it may be that you have been led into a place of sickness or affliction, disappointment or bereavement, and of course you wouldn't have wanted to go there. But your good shepherd has led you there, because there's going to be some still water for you that will be good for your soul. He wants to restore your soul. Of course, I think it also speaks of the Spirit. Doesn't water in the Bible, refreshing the soul, speak to us of the Holy Spirit? Of course it does. And just as the sheep needs the food and the water to sustain its life and promote its health, so Christian people, we must have the Word and the Spirit. And the two go together. Green pastures, still waters. But somebody says, I thought in the Bible that the Holy Spirit's work was living water. Yes, well, this is living water. It may say still water, but it means quiet waters, not frightening waters. Yes, but somebody says, I thought the Spirit's work in the Bible was a sort of fountain of water, bubbling, overflowing, effervescent water. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus meant when he spoke of the Spirit flowing out of us and so on? A spring. Yes, you're absolutely right. And that teaches us something very important about the Holy Spirit and his ministry. You can't stereotype him. There are many different symbols and very many different pictures given to us in the Scriptures with regard to the Holy Spirit, so that we can't just parcel him up. He's a sovereign Spirit. Like the wind, where it comes from, where it's going, or what it's going to do next, so is the Spirit. And in the New Testament and in the Bible, he comes sometimes as a dove. And our Lord Jesus Christ, is that not the symbol of peace? The dove. That wasn't the symbol that was given at Pentecost, was it? Fire. Fire. And we sometimes sing, and his that gentle voice we hear, soft as the breath of even, that checks each fault and calms each fear and speaks of heaven. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, it wasn't a gentle, soothing, caressing breeze. It was a rushing, mighty wind in the house where they were sitting. So you see, let's be very careful of what we say about one another and the work of the Holy Spirit. Here says one, I don't think that man is filled with the Spirit. He's far too quiet. He didn't bubble like I do. He doesn't radiate like I do. He's not always saying this and doing that and all the rest of it like I do. He hasn't got the gifts that I've got. I don't think he's got it. I don't think he has the Holy Spirit. Certainly he hasn't got the fullness of the Spirit. Ah, perhaps the fullness of the Spirit has come to him in still waters. Still waters run deep. Oh, says another one, I don't think that person's been filled with the Spirit. I don't think that one knows much about the real ministry of the Holy Spirit. They're too noisy. They're too excitable. They're all froth and bubble. I've got deep peace of the Holy Spirit in my soul. I'm the one who really knows it. Let's be careful. Those who are filled with the Spirit are usually the last ever to claim it anyway, or ever to know it. By their fruits ye shall know them. And it may be that the Sovereign Spirit will do a gracious work in one heart in one way, and a gracious work in another way. Dove, fire, gentle breeze, rushing mighty wind, bubbling fountain, quiet waters. It's all the work of the Spirit. He maketh me to lie down In green pastures he leadeth me beside still waters. One book I was reading about caring for sheep told me this, and I was fascinated by it. It's vital for sheep to have water. But sometimes the only water they get is the dew upon the grass. But it's enough. In fact, it's more than enough. Where the grass is long and luscious, where the pasture is verdant, green, the sheep will be seen to rise before the sun and begin to feed upon that pasture. And that pasture is dropping with pure water, soaked with water. And as they feed, so they get the water. And so their thirst is quenched. Oh, I think there's a picture in that. As we come unto the Lord, our shepherd, to lie down in green pastures, so the Spirit is in the Word. So the Spirit is in the service. So the Spirit is moving along the rows and across the church. And he's there in the Word. And perhaps even without realizing it, we are having the stillness and we are having the Spirit along with the food. And he's nourishing us and building us up and giving us everything we need. He restoreth my soul next week. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is the food for? What is the water for? That we might walk in the paths of righteousness. Ah, now if people are critical of those who go seeking green pastures because it never makes any difference to their lives, if it's just a case of knowledge that puffeth up or maketh proud, then they do right to criticize. If we are seeking the quietness of the presence of the Lord every morning, like the sheep who rise early to get the dew, but it doesn't make any difference to the way we live through the day, then what good is it? If we seek to know the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but then nobody would ever know it because of the way we live, for we walk wrongly and not righteously, then it isn't the Spirit at all. And it isn't the Lord's pasture at all. Because it is to this end that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Blessed are they, said our Lord Jesus Christ, who hunger, green pastures, and thirst, waters of quietness, after righteousness. There's something beyond the water and beyond the pasture, righteousness. That's what we're to want, to walk in the ways of God. God has called his people to lives of holiness. That's what righteousness means. Holiness. Rightness. Godliness. The good shepherd will never lead you into sin. Young person, young girl, young fellow, here this morning. Your good shepherd will not lead you into sin. He wants to lead you to walk a way of righteousness, and it isn't easy in this sinful world and society. But that's his way. He wants you to walk it. Follow him. Follow him. Yield your life to him. He has conquered sin. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. Will you follow him? You need the strength of the green pasture. You need the refreshment of the quiet water, but then you can follow him. Older person, don't be weary in doing what's right. Be weary in well-doing. Follow him in the paths of righteousness. Of course, it speaks of guidance as well. Where should I go? What should I do? Who should I marry? What job should I take? What is this? What is that? Will the Lord not lead me? Yes, he will. He leads you in a right path. His path, His way, His will. Trust Him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. Ah, that's it. Not just for your sake or my sake, for His sake. Because we belong to Him. The way we live reflects upon our shepherd, upon our Saviour and upon our King. We bear His name. We belong to Him. We live for His glory. We can't help but be witnesses of some kind or another before the world, either for good or bad. So it's for His name's sake that He strengthens us. It's for His own glory's sake that He wants His people to be strong and to be fed. It's dishonouring to the name of Christ when Christian people are shriveled up and joyless and loveless and sinful and weak. And that's why He leads us into green pastures and beside still waters, that we might walk the way of righteousness before the world for His name's sake. For we are Christians, Christ's people, God's people, the Lord's people, Jesus' people. We belong to Him. We are His flock. He is our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. For the sheep He bled. Every lamb is sprinkled with the blood He shed. Then on each He setteth His own secret sign. They that have My Spirit, these, saith He, are Mine. You belong to Him. And that's why He, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, wants to lead you and me to feed upon green pastures. And beside still water, quiet water, spirit water, that we might walk His way and honour Him for His name's sake. Amen.